Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I hope that you'll take some notes, have something to write down, write with. Today I think I'll say something, hopefully, worth remembering. But here's the first thing that I want to say. One thing that's true for all of us is that our lives move in the direction of our words. Our lives move in the direction of our words. James, I'm going to read out of the book of James, chapter 3, verse 3, I believe is where it starts. It reads like this. It says, a bit, or this could be a bridle in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course for that ship in the face of the strongest wind. Like even though the wind might be blowing in different directions, here's coming to my mind is the saying, one ship sails east and another west while the self same breezes blow. But it's the set of the sail and not the wind that determines where the boat will go. Isn't that good? It's the same. So set of the sail, rudder on a ship. You could think of it like steering wheel on an automobile. Same kind of analogy is being used here. And then he goes on and he says, a word out of your mouth may seem like no big deal. Like it might seem of no account. But it can accomplish nearly anything. Like don't put limits on this, the power of your words. Like you can go way beyond where you could go otherwise if you have the right rudder, your rudder set, your tongue set in the right direction. He says you can accomplish, or it can accomplish nearly anything, or destroy it. So just to recap what he's talking about here, he says in the same way that a bridle is used to set the direction of a horse, a rudder is used to determine the direction of a ship, our words determine the direction of our lives. So you might think about it like this. When we let our emotions, our worry, our doubt, our fear take over the steering wheel, they lead us towards greater worry, greater doubts, and greater fears. Like when we use words or we say things like, I am so upset. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that doesn't really help anything. In fact, it literally takes us to greater confusion. When we say things like, I don't feel cared for. I don't feel treated right. Well, that doesn't create more of a sense of being loved. If we say, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. How many of you know that's not going to cause you to feel like you're right where you ought to be, that God's got you, that His hand is on your life, that He's providing all your need? It's not going to cause you to feel the comfort and the peace and the goodness of God, the presence of God when you talk that way. When we say little comments, when we all do, I'm certainly go. When we say things like, "Well, I am so frustrated with da 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 da," I just want to remind you that that doesn't all of a sudden bring great peace to your heart. What does it do? It accentuates the frustration. Or you make me so mad, or you're driving me crazy Well, you don't get out of crazy talking about being driven to crazy. Right? So, these kind of words cause these kind of feelings to grow, which causes us to feel helpless and causes us to feel hopeless and discouraged. But the right words, if we get the right words, somebody shout, right words.
Right words.
Say it again, right words.
Right
words. If we get the right words, those right words will take us into God's strength. And the right words will lift us and help us and encourage us and move us toward God's best for our life. I want to show you a scripture. Many of you may be familiar with it, but boy, it's a good one. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, it reads like this. And this is God talking, by the way, to his people. And he says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. So maybe you're here in service today and you might feel weak. The scripting of your heart might be telling you that everything that you tried failed, that you're powerless, that you're getting your brains beat out, you're up against the ropes and you are going down. Like, that might be how you feel this weekend. Feel very weak, feel very vulnerable. You might feel like there's no way I can break depression off of my life. Like, there's a cycle of addiction in my family, or in my family history. There's a dysfunctional family history. That's one, you know, Pastor K, you can say all that and you can da 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 da, but you don't know my family. Like, you don't know my mom, where I came from. Like, and you might be here today and you might be like, that might be your script. Like, maybe, in fact, right after our early service, someone said to me, as they were thanking me for the message, they said to me, they referred to their family in this way, like, well, you know my family, and you know, like, this is where I'm at. Like, and I'm like, shut up. I didn't really say shut up. But see, it's just so easy, like, because that's the script. That's the script. That's the script. That's how we're scripted, and that's what comes out of our mouth. And some of you that are here this weekend, you got a script that tells you you are not a good parent. And so you tell people, I'm a bad mom, I'm not a good parent, I'm a bad dad. Or it might be even on the lighter side, maybe personality kind of stuff, like I'm just not a people person. Or, you know what, I'm horrible with accounting, I can't even organize my own finances, like. So my point is that if you keep following that script, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy in your future. And I don't think you want that. If you keep on that script and you follow that script, then that's where it's going to take you. You will get more of the same. But the day you decide to say, I am strong, the day you decide to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, Pastor Kevin, are you saying that all of a sudden, boom, everything is magical and changed? No. I'm just saying that's the day that God can begin to use your words to do something new in your life. Anybody with me here today? So you won't get strong by talking about how weak you are. The only way to get strong is to speak words that God can use, words that are in agreement with what God says and not what you feel. Can I just remind you, the verse doesn't say, let the weak say I am weak. It doesn't say, let the weak just admit it. Just admit it. Doesn't say that. What does it say? Come on. Let the weak say. One more time. Let the weak say,
I am strong.
This is what we call scripting and steering. Scripting and steering. Say it with me. Scripting and steering. Say, I'm scripting and steering.
I'm scripting and steering.
So let me ask you, what are you doing?
Scripting and steering.
What are you doing even though things are bad in your life? What are you doing even though you're not the perfect parent? What are you doing even though you're not the most perfect Christian? There you go. See, Satan has a plan to destroy you. Like, he's got a plan. And when you, you know, when you stop and think about it, it's like he has a plan to destroy your life. You may not realize that. You may not know that, but that is his agenda. And so when you're like, man, I'm going down. He's going, yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's what I've been telling you for a long time. But Jesus has a plan to empower you. He said, I have come that you might have life and more abundant. So you got Satan's plan to destroy you. You got Jesus' plan to give you the best life possible this side of heaven. But your words cast the final vote. I'm going to say that again. Your words cast the final vote. From the day of your salvation, if you have given your life to God, salvation came how? By your words. You said something to the effect of, I confess that I am a sinner, and I believe that you are my Savior. Come into my heart. Change my life. And beginning this day, you are the leader and you are the Lord. You said something like that. It all started with verbiage that sent you over here. And heaven went, yeah, you're coming this way. But it didn't stop there. And every day the battle rages. And your words, I said your words. Come on, I said your words. Some people don't realize the spiritual nature of words. Some people don't realize that the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus enveloped Word. He enveloped the Word of God. They don't understand the spiritual nature of words, that all of the world was spoke into existence. That's creative power. So there's this thing that you start plugging into, and I start plugging into, whenever we use our words well. It's like we send our votes in this direction. And as we send our votes in this direction, guess what? We send our lives in this direction. So I'm going to give you three things in the remaining amount of time. I hope you write them down. Three things. There's many things that you can use your words for. I'm going to give you three today. The first one is, use your words to self-identify with who God says you are. Use your words to self-identify with who God says you are. We hear a lot about identity theft today, and the vulnerability and the risk involved. And the truth is that it's not just in the natural, but it's also in the spiritual, that our enemy will try over and over again to steal our God-given identity by having us identify with the worst in us. In the Bible, there's a story of four young Hebrew guys who were taken to Babylon and forced into slavery. And one of the things that the enemy did was to change their name. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 7, it records it. It reads like this. It says, the chief official, this is the enemy that is now, they're serving as slaves, and the chief official of the enemy camp gave them their new names. To Daniel, he gave the name of Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, if you grew up in Sunday school or going to church, isn't it interesting that if you heard the story about these three guys, that you learned their Babylonian given name? You would know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? That was not their real name. That was not the God-given, parent-given name. But when they went into captivity, their names got changed. And there's a book by our friend, Pastor Chris Hodges. I highly recommend it. It's called The Daniel Dilemma. And it has a graphic in it. And we took that and we create our own from it. I just want to give him credit for it. But it lays it out really clear, and it shows you how their names got changed. And I want to show you that. Daniel originally meant God is my judge, but the new name was a female gender name, lady. So there's a shift. Now, I don't know how this worked. I don't know. I know guys right now, when guys are talking, especially young boys, they'll say, you know, you run like a girl, or you know, I don't know. I don't know how, but this was definitely some way meant to degrade the masculine dynamic of Daniel. Hananiah, name Yahweh has been gracious, and he got his name changed, and it meant I am fearful of God. Now, not fear in a good way, but an unhealthy fear. He goes from a name that declared his love for God to an unhealthy fear of God. The next one, his name meant, who can compare to my God? No one. God's big and great in my life. And now his name, it meant, I am despised and humiliated. Isn't that amazing? So he goes from confidence to being a coward by name. The last one, Yahweh has helped. He had that name on his life. And then it goes into the servant of my enemy, or I am a slave, basically, of my enemy. Every day waking up with the name that he answered to that said, I am a slave. I am a slave. I am a slave. He goes from being a son of God to a slave of man. And here's what I want you to understand today is that the enemy wants to do the same thing to all of us. He wants us to see ourselves in a way that we weren't meant to see ourselves. He wants to rob you of your God-given identity by putting words on you. And by putting labels on you so that he can keep you stuck there. Is anybody relating to what I'm saying to you right now? He wants to put labels on you. He wants to get you stuck in a definition of yourself that he did not intend for you to get stuck in. And that's because he wants to destroy you. And like I said a while ago when I was talking about this is the enemy's plan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's plan, I came to give you life. Well, in case you think I'm exaggerating when I say you cast the final vote, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12:37. He said something very, very powerful there. He said, by your words you are acquitted, or by your words you are condemned. So by your words you are set free of labels and names and identity that your enemy puts on you, or by your words, you become that. You are condemned to live that way. It's self-condemning verbiage and words, and you keep it there, and you establish it, and you don't realize that when you say it, you're just driving it further into your own heart and into your own soul, and by your words, you are condemned. A beautiful young lady named Monique, she was the one who today was the voice who read the script for the video that we played a few minutes ago, the Flip the Script video, and she sent me a note, gave me a note about her life this week. And thank you, by the way, to all of you who have responded to this series like you have. Our church, there's so many new people in our church and so many new people coming into our church, and it just makes it exciting to hear various stories and, you know, individuals who have been here and individuals who are right now just beginning this whole thing of scripting and steering. And Monique wrote this. I want to read it to you. She said, I've been in the church all of my life. And even though I grew up in a great family with a great church, I struggled with depression and anxiety since I was 18. On my worst days, I felt hopeless and lost. 3 years ago, I decided that I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I want to pause there And I want to just say to those of you who have gone to church for a length of time, just because you've attended church, it doesn't mean that you don't need to be intentional about scripting and steering. You can sit in church and you can hear things and you can be in an environment and maintain the wrong scripting in your own heart and life, or even have new wrong scripting introduced along the way that you just accept about yourself. So she says, I began to be intentional with my words to strengthen my mentality, my spirit. I started the habit of speaking words of life into my everyday. I now see my own potential. I realize that my life has purpose and value. And since becoming intentional to be healthy and optimistic, I have been given opportunities outside of my comfort zone. I've started to see doors open in my life. And I realize more than ever before that if I keep the right words in my mouth and the right attitude, it releases God's power and strength into my life. I now look at tomorrow with excitement, knowing my thoughts and words no longer hold me back, but are shaping my future. Isn't that good? Yeah, go ahead, give it a hand. By the way, another note for all of you. Some people say, well, when my life gets better, then I'll talk about it being better. When things start, you know, smoothing out and going well, and then I'll talk about it going well. And I want to say to you, that's not the way it works. What she's saying is that I felt all of this hopelessness, I felt all of this darkness, I felt all of this, and then I started to say something with my words that led me to a new place and to a better place in my life. That's how it works. It's words first. Lead with your words. Lead with your tongue, because your life goes in the direction of your words. Some of our staff offered to help me with this message this past week, and I loved the idea. And I want to tell you before we start to show it that they're going to hold up one word that they look back on their life and felt like, and they did this all voluntarily, by the way, so it's not just for artistic value. This is genuine, it's heartfelt, it's people who recognize a word that was on their identity. Like it was part of who they, in a negative way, saw this on them, and this is who I am kind of thing. And so then you'll watch, and let me just begin to roll that. You can see liar, wallflower, passive, unlovable, worthless, victim, unwanted, restless. And then they wanted to show how they're flipping the script. Outgoing, purposeful. Isn't that good? Rejecting the negative, flipping the script. Come on, clap your hands right now, flipping the script. Flipping the script. Flipping the script. These are words that they're scripting on their heart, moving them into a new and better identity. Secondly, use your words to encourage yourself and cultivate what you want in your life. Use your words. Everybody say, I'm using my words. Everybody say, I'm scripting and steering. So the second thing here is that I want to encourage you to use your words to encourage yourself. And I love this word. I'll explain it to you. Cultivate what you want in your life. Cultivate what you want. So one of the biggest barriers is that we feel like if we use positive words when we are in a negative situation, that we are not facing reality, that we are living in denial, and so that becomes a barrier like to the message I'm sharing and the thing, because, and I don't think I'm alone in this, many of us wrestle with this, like we wanna, I'm just telling the truth, I'm speaking it like it is, and that becomes the mindset that allows that negative reality to not be challenged, because we don't want to use a word to describe something that we don't feel. But what I want to help you with today is you don't have to deny reality to speak confidently. I said you don't have to deny reality to speak confidently. And what we're doing when we encourage this in your life is that we're encouraging one another to use our words to cultivate something that you want more of in your life. Like, I'll give you an example. When we say, I love my family, on some days, that's not how you feel. Any witness in the rooms? But that's how we want to be. We're not talking about basing our words on our current feelings or even our current reality. We're talking about cultivating something that may not be as good as it could be, or as big as it could be inside of us. But it's there. Like what you're doing when you say, I love my family, is you're saying, I know somewhere deep inside of me, even when I don't feel it. Like I do. Like if something were to happen right now, I would be devastated. Because why? I love my family, right? So we're tapping into that, and we're cultivating something that may be behind the clouds in that moment, or on that day, or even on that week. And we're continuing to say, what? I love my family. I love my husband. I love my children. Like, and they may be annoying you and driving you up the wall, but when you say, you're cultivating stronger love, you're cultivating greater patience, you're developing greater confidence in what God's doing with your life and with your children. Cultivating, encouraging. The psalmist, for example, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But we don't know if he really felt like going in that particular moment. Like, you don't know and I don't know. Because if you look at his habits and his practices, like he definitely said, hey, the enemy's coming in. The enemy is doing this. He was honest and open. But what you see is you see writings that you got to believe oftentimes were not what he was feeling, but that he was actually using his words to encourage and cultivate what he wanted more of in his life. So he's saying, hey, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like he said that. So how do I can't say, well, I hate going to church and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like, you can't do that. You can't say, well, oh my God, it's weekend again. My wife's been after me. I'm trying to go to church. You can't do that. And find yourself in the house of the Lord forever. You cannot do it. It won't work. What's it doing? It's going to send you further and further and further away. So when you're cultivating, you're saying things that'll take you where in your deepest part of your heart is the real reality and the real truth. And a lot of people are like, you know, when you teach like this, some people are like, oh, come on, let's just be real. I am. In fact, I'm being more real than our temporary feelings. Right? So you might even say something to the idea of, you know, I love my job. And you're like, I ain't gonna say that. You know what I deal with on my job, Pastor? But I might say back to you, okay, why are you staying there? If you don't somehow deep inside of you say this is a blessing, in some way you're not connecting to something good about it, then why are you still there? There's something about it that is outweighing the negative, or you wouldn't be there. So what I'm saying to you is, how about you tap in to this little bitty seed of appreciation and value and start saying with your mouth, I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my work. I'm thankful for what I have. Some of you, like, some days you're like, I just want to go live in California or Hawaii. It's raining around here. Okay, I feel that way sometimes too. Like, but that isn't going to help us. It's better to say, I love my city. Look how green it is. Like, if those clouds weren't there, you could see a mountain out there. Like, there was a point in ministry for me where I began to realize that my job could be physically challenging, mentally, emotionally, spiritually draining. I didn't start that way, but somewhere along the way, it hit me like, ooh, wow. I'm juggling various roles. I'm coming up with messages. Like, it feels like I'm finished 1 week and shoom, the other one's breathing down my neck. And it's messages, not just that I'm coming up with something for me, but it's messages that I feel like God wants to communicate to people. And so, leading a staff, a growing team, and all of that goes along. And when I realized, that, wow, this is really, there's a lot of challenge in what I do, I also realized that I can't afford to say what's on my mind. Like, I just can't even create margin for that. There's no margin for that. And I also can't afford to be around people who do. And here's what I came to realize as I became more familiar with my own feeling, my own ability to send my life in one way or the other. I realized that, and let me try to say this right for you, is that my most challenging seasons with the right scripting were actually better than my easier seasons with the wrong scripting. So look at your neighbor and say, this is good, this is good. Tell your other neighbor, you need this, you need this, like. How about everybody say, we can do this? Come on, say, I can do this. Come on, say, we got this. See, I realized that it wasn't just about the pressure of life. It wasn't just about what was going on around me. It was what was going on inside of me. And that if I could just leverage the power, I began to realize I leveraged the power of my words. I have a little talk with myself. Maybe you don't know, this is a funny story, maybe you don't know about this story, but there was a time in the Bible where Moses, who was leading the people of God, he went to God in frustration about the people he was leading. Now, the reason I think it's funny is because congregations, which all of you are part of a congregation, and congregations oftentimes realize that they don't like something about the pastor. What doesn't dawn on the congregation is that oftentimes the pastor doesn't like them. Time of revelation, transparency. Like, honestly, most, like, in congregations in my over 30 years of pastoring, it's like that thought doesn't cross most people's mind. And I've had many days where I didn't want to see y'all, didn't want to be with y'all. I've had many times where I'm like, I'd like to trade those 10 for 10 like this. Give me 10 more. Like, you just go through all these mental exercises where you're, in your head, I'm on the other side with pastors, oftentimes helping pastors, many of them younger than myself, and that's what they do. They come to me and they do what Moses did, because I didn't finish my story. Moses went to God and he's got, God, the people you gave me, God. Bunch of complainers, always complaining, God. I'm trying to get them to do what you want them to do, God. They don't listen. They don't ever listen. What do you want me to do with them? Like, that's exact conversation. Like, that's how Moses talked to God. Totally frustrated. And I have pastors many times saying, Pastor Kevin, our church, blah, 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 blah. The people that I pastor, blah, 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 blah. Like, I can't get them to pray. I can't get them to get into life groups. I can't, you know, they don't do anything I ask them to do. Like, pastor, people, da, da, da. Now, I try to coach them in the same way I would coach you, because we're all in a similar dynamic. And that is, like, I try to say to them, like, start saying, I love my church. Start saying, God, thank you for the church that I get to pastor. Thank you for the people, Lord, all of them, all sizes and shapes. And thank you for the ones, Lord, that come along that make me better by way of patience. The ones who test me and push me right to my limit. Lord, you know, but turn it, flip it, flip the script, flip the script, flip the script, flip the script, flip the script. Because it isn't going to help you to say, our church is like this and our church is like that. And our church doesn't bring anybody, and I can't get those people over there. Like, da, 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 da. That doesn't help anything. But when you start to say, I love my church. I thank God for our church. We got some of the greatest people in our church. And we are awesome, amazing. We have people who have come from really bad lives, and they've come a long, long ways. And they got a long way to go, but they come a long, long ways. Right? What am I doing? I'm flipping the script. So my point is that, like, we're all in this, and the more we use our words to send us into a place of cultivating what we want, we're encouraging ourselves and we're cultivating. I want to love our church. I just don't always feel love for our church. And I'm sure you're the same way. There's probably sometimes you come to church and you're like, man, they got that wrong again, and that music is loud, and you know, or you're watching online and you're going, man, it, like, every once in a while, it shorts out. Well, send us some money. No, I'm kidding. I guess I'm not kidding, but, money answers all things. Like, but you know, we all have that. Like, I took my children over and I had to wait in line in security, like, forever, my kids in security. Flip the script and go, you know, thank God we have people that care about safety and security. And I have a great children's ministry. Amen? Everybody say, I'm getting it. Come on, say, I'm getting it. Say, I'm getting it. Say, I'm getting it. Come on, say, scripting and steering. All right, lastly, and this will be quick, but it's the last one I want to say, is use your words to increase your faith in God. Use your words to increase, grow. Like, faith is like a seed. Like, some of you in this room would say, I don't have any faith. I would challenge that. Everyone has some level of faith. You might have it in different things. You might have it in different places. But everyone operates from some sort of faith. So, when it comes to God, Jesus literally looked people in the eye and he said, have faith in God. And the Bible also says faith comes by hearing. By hearing. So you probably notice when you hear someone teach, preach, speak, you get in a life group and you know you walk away and your faith is lifted. It's grown, right? Because you hear words of faith by other people. But can I tell you that no one can grow your faith like you can. And what I mean by that is that what others say to you is not nearly as powerful as what you say to you. Not nearly as powerful. So the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord. Now there are many of these psalms, but I grabbed one of them where he said, this is what I'm going to say about the Lord. Others may say, God let me down. Others may say, God's not been there for me. God. Others may say, you know, when I needed him the most, he wasn't there. Others may continue to talk about that, but here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say of the Lord. He is my refuge and he is my fortress and he is my God. He is my refuge and he is my fortress and he is my God in whom I trust. He is my refuge and he is my fortress and he is my God in whom I trust. He is my refuge and he is my fortress and my God in whom I trust. I trust. I will say. What will you say? What will you say about God? Nothing? Silent? Quiet? Or will you say, will you venture out and say, He's my refuge. He's my strength. He is my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He is faithful. I may not always understand it, but boy, God always is there for me. He may not save me from a lot of challenges and trials. He may let me go through it, but He's putting me through it for a reason in my life. He's got something good planned for me, because in all things, God works for the good of them that love the Lord. He is a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Come on, we ought to clap our hands to the goodness and the favor and the blessing of the Lord in our lives today. So this is what I want for us this year. This is what I want for you this year. I want for you this year to be a year where you flip the script in your life. If you haven't identified what your one word or your 10 words is that are on you, a word like unqualified, a word like insignificant, a word like overlooked. If you haven't identified, maybe that could be your homework assignment. Oh, I want so much for you. I want so much for some of you whose your marriage is never going to be everything you want it to be. If you don't flip that script where there was brokenness somehow, there was something that got written on you, and you get to a certain point with your spouse and that thing comes out of you. Maybe you can't even have like an honest, open conversation with a person that loves you, because on your heart there's that word scripted, abandonment or betrayal. And the moment that you could go into a place and have a loving, caring conversation that would make you stronger and bond you together, you're reacting out of your pain, out of your identity, out of what happened to you the last time, the last marriage, the parents that abandoned you. And I want so much for you. I want so much for you to take the power of this message. And you don't have to like say, I'm going to like this week, it's all going to be a miracle in my life. But if you'll start this week to flip the script, I promise you, by the power of God and by the power of your words, you can finish the year. You can finish 2018 having completely flipped the script in your whole life. Does anybody want that? Come on, does anybody say, that's what I want? Well, guess what? Guess what? We're cheering for you and we're believing with you. And if that's you, raise both hands in the air. I want to bless you. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you, God, that today what the enemy meant for evil, God intends for good. Some who have been broken, God, you're going to heal them, and they're going to be a great witness and a great testimony of your power, your grace in their life. God, I thank you. You don't leave us like you found us. You don't leave us where we are. God, you love us as we are, but you love us too much to leave us where we are. And right now, your word is coming in and it's moving into the spirit of man right now. And I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that is above abandonment, the name that is above betrayal, the name that is above sickness and disease and unqualified and I'm not good enough, the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, we declare and we speak new things and greater power and greater futures over our lives. This word doesn't return void. It accomplishes and it achieves what it's sent forth to do. I bless every man. I bless men who are here today who didn't have the father that they wish they would have had. And the scripting on their life right now is you can't be a great father because you didn't have a great father. And I bless them right now with fatherhood. And I boldly declare there is greatness there. There is potential. I speak to the seed within them. And I speak the seed of fatherhood within them and faithfulness within them and masculinity and strength within them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I speak to women today who have been abused and misused by men in their life, and they have on their heart scripted, they have scripted unworthiness and defilement and abuse, and I speak to that in Jesus' name. And I boldly declare there's no condemnation, not anymore. And there's no more struggle, Jesus, because you release the shame. There's no more shame in the name of Jesus. This year we began to not be ashamed, but to be free of shame and to know who we are. Not by man's definition, not by our experience, but by who you created us to be in Jesus' name. If you're here and you want a brand new beginning in your life by receiving Jesus as the leader and the Lord of your life, I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer. Here we go. You ready? Say with me, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. I invite you now into my life. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I receive you today. I receive your grace. Come on, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. I'm going to leave here different than I came. In the name of Jesus, this is my new beginning, and I'll never be the same again. I am a child of God. And everybody who believes it and receives it, shout a great big amen. And let's give a great big hand today for every person. Come on, every man, every woman, every person who prayed that prayer.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.